the creation of things that have full five days, and it was broadcasted through the radio, with microbes, borders on the north bed, their neighbors. That's how it happened. On Eric's here. So congratulations to that province, because I think they have four important different towns in the province at the same time. So well done to the both place. All the members with regard to the mandate system, the public guidance is not yet. I'll ask Honzo Kotara to deal with the one. Oh yeah, sorry.
Negotiate in favor of the book.
that the commissioners have afforded a potent platform to influence the decision of employing the Yahoo companies. As a matter of fact, as law, the competence to employ a chief executive officer as with the commissioners as a collective has an instance whereby one of them is to be considered for such a position as a letter of close clarity would closely shroud in a shadow the integrity of an appointment process and result a decision from such an anomaly. To this end, the committee recommends that commissioners be unconditionally excluded from applying for the position of the chief executive officer. A contention which he believes is a justifiable limitation of Section 32 of the Constitution. Proceeding of the bill, the reference clause to amount other amendments within Section 6 of the Principal Act, the latter which confers the competence upon the Minister of Finance to make regulations for the Commission. Further, the committee was advised that the rationale for the repeal and substitution of the Section 4 was part of the bill, which confers the power to make rules upon the commission was warranted by the constitutional status of the commission as a distinct organ from the levels of the executive. The committee has repeatedly opened assertion that the proposed orientation given by the bill obliterates the political oversight that the minister should exercise over the institution, which is the generally practiced standard in the case of institutions of this nature. The committee does recommend that the percentage of the Principal Act be retained, as is more so persuaded by the fact that there are checks and balances in the same provision that the minister must set all material signs when making regulations contrary with the commission. Further qualification in this line of reasoning being that, as for the matter hinging on administrative terrain of the commission, the latter should have the competence to make rules and policies to originate such a scope. The last one, Chair. Clause 16 and clause 30 of the bill. The committee is of the view that the two sections respectively should remain and not be amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith. We know that.
Thank you for
by the National Treasury, the committee found that the main amendments include, amongst others, the following. Proposal of the creation of a new administrative position of the CEO and also have to function and also have to function as Mr. Melvin, of the founding officer and secretary to the commission. Going to the following page, which is not numbered, alignment of the commission's functions to the constitution and other legislation. Person in fact didn't read it again. Membership arrangements, members' remuneration, members' conduct and rule-making powers, alignment to the PSMA, the committee welcome amendments made on the bill, negotiating mandate, the also the committee has considered the bill by transfer and negotiating mandate to the NCP, permanent delegate to negotiate the sale of the bill. There's no amendments. So I can't see where the amendments are. Although from square, I'm going to give you now the opportunity, but also to our legal unit that is represented here, to just a minute. Okay. Although from square, I'm giving you ample time to deal with what we have just received in the negotiating matters. You might proceed. Thank you for coming to the meeting. Thank you for assisting us in the moment of peace that you were absolutely fine.
Now, we also thank the committee for the opportunity to visit many colleges in a very short space of time. At least the two of us, I traveled to 5,000 in 4 days and experience. But also to assist the needs of the work of potential legislators and the people. Can I first deal with the Mpumalanga?
I'm
the proposal from Mpumalanga is that the first one is that members are appointed for a term of 5 years. I didn't indicate that the current EDC Act, members are appointed up to 5 years. So it's possible for the president to appoint a member for less than 5 years. So these that change, and if the committee takes this change, we have to revisit our 8-1. Reiterate current provision in the FFC Act. Then the second part, saying that they could only appoint for 1 year term, which I think is aligned to our proposal or not, the proposal in the law before the committee of 10 consecutive years, so it's the same. Then the second part is indicating qualifications that a person should be actually consistent and should be a certain proper person. We don't have a problem with inserting those requirements, and it's pretty standard in all institutions. The current act only repeats what's in the constitution, saying that the person must have the perfect experience, which is in section 7 of the SEC Act. So if the committee adopts this amendment, my proposal would be that we rather amend section 7 instead and not insert it in section 8 and deal with the term of office. So those, I think, the two key issues in this amendment, and as from that point, we're not raising any objections to those amendments. I think it's all, having a fixed term will also be aligned to most constitutional institutions where the term is set. It's not allowed, or it's not possible to set a later term for particularly the use of the committee of summary who is responsible for other commissions under the constitution. This is the only one we've asked to pick up that the president may appoint for less than 5 years. And we've done so on one occasion, but I think it's partly related to the amendment goal that was appointed to the executive chair. But I think any certainty and stability to the committee of the commission, and this proposal there for the first system. I'm going to stop off and go to the other one and continue with the other.
Representative from our legal section, you want to make your input?
My name is
Honourable members, as you from
The court in the Bull currently say that if the person is appointed as a CEO and reviews you, that then does align from the state of assuming duties. Now, the internal bet is that they see a conflict of interest because it's the very same condition that the person serves on will now be despite my employment. And they regard this the proposal that a member of the commission should not be employed as a CEO as a fair demonstration of the constitutional rights of faculty in the state of occupation and profession that this has been seen to. I offer different views. One can't recruit someone to apply for a job somewhere else. The fact that it's in the same industry doesn't matter. It's similar to public servants standing for election. The current rule states that you can continue as a public servant and only if you're elected, then you deemed as resigned as a member of a public servant. But obviously, the law is different, but I don't say it's just legal advice on this. But in my view, precluding a member of the commission from applying to the job of CEO might be not constitutional. In any case, the other option was not to publish the commission. It shouldn't be required if this is resigned. Even that, I think, is unfair because the person may not be successful in seeking to apply for the commission. I think what is clear is if the CEO of a member of the commission applies for the commission, that person can't publish the process. So that's my view on this proposal from Northwest. I don't know if you can stop at this point before the
there's the explanation of George Felt, right? Of the target of the government.
Thank you. Chairman, I think it's correct what the advocacy said is that it's unconstitutional to exclude anybody from applying for anything. But I think the view is that there must be a limit of a removal of any conflict of interest, but it explains the refusal of the member when it comes to appointment.
Well, no problem.
I agree with the advocate. I've read section 22 and I think it was a little bit disingenuous to use the section here because that is your freedom and so I agree as long as we don't close up things that the commissioner must then resign the commissioner and be CEO limited. There must be a distinct separation of powers and positions. And the independence, like Peter said.
I'm
not a chaperon of whom I have separated. That's it. I'm a cut off my own. That is the same group that is my commission. I was not cut off the fact that I apologize. I withdraw my permission. In terms of what I wanted to say, not on the provincial mandate. The provincial mandate said, because it's not from him.
You're 100% correct. It will be noted as that as well. Because the mandate is quite a minute to become a full document of this meeting. And that has been sent back to the legislators after this meeting. So you are correct. Although why?
No, I don't know.
If you're on the right, then you accept the explanation of that critical square as the deputies go to clause 18.
Clause 18 relates to the proposal in the bill that the minister should still, in a cabinet of the current government, and should be able to make stipulations. What we propose in the bill is that power is placed by rulemaking power for the commission. And the reason is, I think it's referred to in the Northwest mandate, is that it's because of the constitutional status of the commission. I want to say back, given that we found that we travel, but I had to arrive at the opportunity to go back to some of the documents. ask a few questions to look at the kind of people and institution and their spouse. And the court stated in that case that the IHC doesn't form part of the national government. The IHC and other type of institutions must have been seen to be outside government and continues there should be administrative independence in terms of the IHC must have control of the matter subject to make extra functions of national form. So therefore we have the proposal that the minister who is a member of the executive should not be ascribed to a considered institution how they conduct their business. So we have that proposal. Now I disagree with the statement in the mandate that the EFC is under the political oversight of the minister. The EFC reports directly to Parliament and within the legislature. It doesn't report to the minister. And that's the reason for these amendments. There is nothing always proposed from the Western state that I wish to deal with that separately. You could say here with an amendment.
On page 129 of the Constitution, section 222, the Commission must report regularly both to Parliament and the provincial legislators. At this moment, the FFC is not reporting the legislators. They are consulting legislators because we ask them also to do that. We'll go back in a minute to all our meetings where we ask and ask as members to speed up that process of consultation between FFC and the provinces, which are doing. But section 222, page 229, the Commission must report daily to both Parliament and the provincial legislature. So all the members, there's more work for this committee.
That amendment should be contained in the minutes.
government exists to fit with African citizen is not in the law at this time, we would say it's not in the constitution and not in the current act. The second part I would say is in clause, the president should appoint someone that's not fit to follow. But it is in many pieces of the legislation and the court cases are about fit and proper means and different kinds. But the first part definitely is being that the African citizen is not something that is considered.
Honourable members, do you want to review your decision? Or will
you not? Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's to respond to what Honourable Mahai is saying or asking is that do we want as a committee to explicitly in eight of their language indicate it must be as African citizen, or if we don't insert the word eight of African citizen, are we comfortable as a committee that whoever the human being is that is appointed to South African citizen or not, it will not be open to it, we cannot, so we must be able to satisfy ourselves that in one case of African citizen and thereby insert in the word. The second part is exactly what Advocate Mansour is saying, the fit and proper person. It does fit the word fit and proper person to all of it does. It's inside, but it does come in many pieces of legislation elsewhere, not just this thing. So the point is that if we don't insert South African citizens, we are not explicitly saying the person appointed must be South African. That's the substance of issue. That's what comes from my party, and that's the issue.
I'm saying that it must be a South African citizen. Because of my human interaction, it must be a South African citizen. Let's be serious. We must first of all be able to work for our people and then let's look after our citizens.
Okay.
The current proposal says up to 5 years. It means that you can't go over 5 years. That's what it says currently. And what Kumaraga is saying is that you must fix it at 5 years. And they are saying for a period of more than 10 consecutive years. That's what Kumaraga is saying. So I don't know whether it's the magic, so it's saying the same thing in a different way. I don't know. Edward, can you please?
I want to read again Section 8. As amended, members of the Commission are appointed for a term of office not exceeding 5 years. Then the whole thing goes on. About the full time issues, etc. So the term of office not exceeding 5 years. A person may not hold office as a member of the Commission for a period more than 10 consecutive years. So who does? It's very clear. It's very clear. Agreed. And let us try to do this.
Can I just explain why the way it has been now involved? We couldn't say one additional term. Because it's possible that a person could be appointed for 3 years and another 3 years. So they're still not having the first 10 years. So we see 10 consecutive years. But in the longer proposal is that when the president appoints, he must appoint for 5 years. He can't appoint for 3 years. So then it's simple to say in terms of drafting that can be appointed for one additional term. So I think on that, it's in the longer and the current law is in line on the number of years the person may serve. It's in terms of 10 years.
Thank you.
the defendant makes a decision on the decision on five times, so what the goal now proposed before the commission now is that all members should be part time and step to chairperson. In other words, since that's the problem that the deputy chair is full time as well. I think the cost would be a concern for us if I didn't have two persons full time. I think it's also one thing that's clear where they should be justified in terms of the workload of the commission. Because if should the chairperson be full time and not be able to attend and maybe call for he or she to be in different places, then she'll be one of the part time commissioners that they are open to. So it's not a small commission. So that's kind of the proposal that we have to stop this and then we go to the last one.
Yes. The term of office, chairperson of the commission is full time and other members of the commission is part time. When the chairperson is not faithful, is not able to chair, there will be then a deputy chairperson which is not good. Members want to express themselves from that. Except the explanation given by Why can't I be? Can perhaps get some square places be for the sake of one of
the
I suppose that we know what the working age is for.
consult with the minister. In that consultation can be, as normally is, an influential process. So the commissioner's opinion can be changed by whatever the consultation process is. So then it is part of the whole purpose of the commissioner and of the minister. The point is that we must not interpret what after consultation with the minister means. Because if you want to interpret it, you may read something that's not there. Consultation with the minister means precisely that it's not receiving approval. Because if you want to say, you can say after seeking approval with the minister, that's something completely different from after consultation with the minister. And I think in this instance, because it is a commission established by Parliament, it reports to Parliament, yes, but the ministry does have a responsibility to the commission as well. And on basis of its operations, there must be consultation with the minister. It's not seeking approval of the minister, and there's a distinct difference between the two. And I think if you remove consultation from the minister, you open up avenues for non-responsibility.
Was responsible.
certainly for pregnancy, if it can, to influence where you are going, but not to exert your power to make that decision. So this consultation has had an indication after consultation, and this is meant to bring the influence where it can, or just to consider what someone else is saying. Therefore, it's not a consultation which requires them. If they cannot meet in their mind, then they can still meet. But it's basically in the legislation to allow that there is such consultation solely for purposes of influence or consideration, but not to take your power to make the decision. Therefore, I don't see any illegality or anything wrong with the provision itself.
The word may, not must, it's may. I think that is the catch in the sentence in the law. That they may consult, not the must. But the consultation in any case takes place. It happens. You see it in the recommendations by the FFC to the minister when it's publicized in the Division of Revenue Office. You also see it in the budget review document at the bank. There's a specific chapter just referring to that.
So sure.
That's part of the consultation.
Chairperson, we cannot adversely affect the independence of the commission. And we must read the sections that Honourable Dr. Company has quoted, section 220. And then section 2. The Commission is independent and subject only to the Constitution and the law and must be impartial. So whether you say consultation, you consult, this committee consults with the National Treasury, but nobody prescribes in the law that we must, as members of this committee, consult with the National Treasury. It happens because we have to do it and we mustn't be prescriptive in this way. It must retain its independence.
I notice the lady there from the civil union.
Professor, I think I should have clarified that this consultation is only in respect to the rules that the commission would have decided to make. And the rules, as it is stated, it is clear what they are subject to. It's not as if there is anything that they are obligated to do. But in respect, when they are making the rules, that guides their processes, actually. As if we read the subparagraph A to C, it's only in respect of that. So it's not a general consultation that maybe we make decisions. It pertains to. But it's a very restricted part. If we may read subparagraph 2 there, it's very clear. It's a consultation that must pertain to the rules that the Commission has decided to actually determine and suggest that these are the rules we want to follow when we are dealing with the provisions in regards to this matter. So it's a very specific portion of the consultation which must happen.
It's a better requirement of the Principal Act.
So thank you, it's not published, but it's not after consultation on each and everything that the commission does. It's just in relation to it. It's good, but it as you said, it's made after consultation. And I think what Honourable Sanders is saying is that if you don't remove this, you are implying that there must be consultation with the minister, which is incorrect. And I think interpretation of the law and the law is two different things. And that's why I said when I passed it. That we can't reach after consultation with the minister and try and decide for what it means. Maybe after consultation with the minister is very different from after approval of the minister.
Fine. All the members are present.
Now, if we say rule, how is that going to be trained for regulation to be issued?
You don't have to write the regulations. You cannot affect the government's work. You want to be quiet with it?
The proposal involving no
require that they must first consult an amateur before making those rules. For some other rules, they make the rules on their own without consultation.
Thank you, Coach. All members are good time to the committee. You accept the explanation of the technical support. Yes. Thank you. That leads to point number three. You will now capture the minutes and then this will go back to the provinces for
just if I can give you just take membership. What I'm going to do is, as I usually do, just give you both appropriation and finance. We have a meeting on Friday dealing with the briefing by Adrian Western Cape and Limpopo. It's currently only Limpopo and Western Cape. Adrian has had to put in apology because the MEC is going for an operation. So it's unable to come into the presentation. This is our engagement as we agreed. Members will remember that we will engage all the MECs and official treasuries and get them to give up the position on the fiscal position. Nancy is then going to, on Tuesday, the Senate Committee of Appropriations will deal with the NHI conditional grant expenditure. On Wednesday the 10th, we will have the Finance Committee meeting which will deal with the final mandate. The final mandate and the adoption of the committee report. On the same day, we're going to have, we just needed to check this, whether on the same day, appropriations can deal with the adoption of or giving by National Treasurer on the appropriation rule. But then the government should speak to that issue.
Okay, thank you. Initially, yes, no provision rule, the president is saying that there is no standard for it. However, on Monday, I still recall and send an email from the office of the president. Because the other
under this is because of the availability of the MCs. And we'll see that our five MCs are only the engagements with the MCs from the provincial territories coming to account. But you are correct, Fridays are the joint committee. So if you are in the joint committee, that's your, you must not be at home.
Over the fourth parliament,